wings now living, a song of thanksgiving to God the Creator. Our voices we raise. God's banners fly o'er us, Christ's light goes before us, a pillar of light shining forth in the night. Till all things now living unite in thanksgiving to God in the highest. Hosanna and praise!
Good morning. Welcome to Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad that you have joined us on this Thanksgiving Sunday, both in person and online. Please stand as you're able for opening hymns.
Come, O faithful people, come, raise the song of God.
Let's have all children come forward. See a couple more joining us here. All right. So who knows what holiday we're celebrating this week? What do you think?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. So is anybody, what's your favorite thing to eat at Thanksgiving?
Pie.
Pie. What kind of pie do you like?
My mom's lemon pie.
Your mom's lemon pie. Yum. What's your favorite thing?
Potatoes.
I'm going to have to go with the potato family.
Stuffing.
Stuffing. Ooh, yes. Do you have a favorite? No, just everything? Yeah. I'm a vegetarian, so the side dishes are my friends at Thanksgiving. So we've been talking in Children's Church about compassion. And being thankful for the things that we have. So when we talk about compassion, does anybody remember how we define it? I see your hurt. I feel your hurt. I help ease your hurt. And we're finishing up our lesson this fall on compassion. And one of the things we've all been working on, remember these? So we've been making our, what are these? Do you remember?
So what are we
going to
make with the bricks?
We're going to make the notes.
Make the notes. So what we did was we had bricks, and then on each of the notes, for people who may be sad and need a little boost, we made some notes. So who wants to read what this one says?
I'm sorry you're sad.
Okay, what does this one say?
You are loved.
Great. You might not be able to read my handwriting. What does this one say?
Are you okay?
What does that one say?
Sending the noise, hoise.
Hugs. Sorry, it's my handwriting. Can you read that one?
You are a rock star.
You are a rock star. And then this last one says, anybody, can you read that one?
You have a friend.
You have a friend. So we've been giving these messages for people who might need a boost. And for some people, Thanksgiving might be a little bit sad. They might not have the food or the friends or think that they have anything to be thankful for. And what we want to let them know is everyone is loved at this time of year. And so this is something that we've all decided we're going to work on and to help people feel a boost. And if you all need this, you know that you are loved, that you have a family here, and you are all rock stars. All right, so let's say a brief prayer, and then we're going to go off to our special Thanksgiving Children's Church today. Let's bow our heads. Dearest Lord, we're so thankful that we have a place here where we are loved, where we are have a community where we can be ourselves and bring our full selves to this wonderful family that we have here. Please be with those who may feel lonely, who may feel sad, who may not have the food at the table or the nourishment they need from a community or love, and help us to let them know that they are loved and that they are rock stars. And all God's children said, amen. And we are excited to now hear the bells.
Thank you. thank you to our wonderful bell choir. We invite you now to rise and greet each other however you feel comfortable with the sign of Christ's peace. May the peace of the Lord be with you. While we're at it, why don't we turn around and give some peace to our friends watching us online? We miss you. We know you're all over the world. And to our friends in the balcony who make our service so wonderful with all their work. I invite you to take your seats. Save those remaining conversations for coffee after church. And take a deep breath as we prepare to enter into a time of shared prayer together, led there by our wonderful choir. Loving Creator, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this family of faith with whom we gather in your house. Thank you for all the blessings and the bounty that you have brought into our lives. We know you are responsible for the harvest, for all the good things that have come to pass, and for the endless possibilities that lie before us. Help us to be ever aware of your movement in our lives and to embrace that which you have bestowed upon us, often in ways unseen, that give us the potential to live fuller and happier lives. We confess these bounties, these wonderful gifts, are not always how we are expecting you to answer our prayer. And yet, because they come from you, we know they are what we need. Sometimes we forget that you have never promised us perfection or that our days would be without worry, but you did promise us that you would never leave us and that with you we would find what we need, we will become who we are called to be, and we will live in love. We are grateful for the assurance of this, and we pray that your Spirit will make us bold, living into the certainty that we are never alone in this ever-changing world. Prepare us to be the reapers of the harvest you have sowed, ready to share the bounty of what you have produced with all who need it. This morning we continue to pray, God, in your mercy, for peace. Please bring an end to violence and war. Move your Spirit over the hearts of man. Change us in ways that we seem incapable of changing ourselves. Help us to surrender our anger and our rage and our uncertainty and all the things that lead us to paths of discord to you, so that we might build a world where children grow up fully, have what they need, and all people live in peace. We offer up to you in our prayers and for your mercy our siblings in the Ukraine who have endured war for over a year now, our siblings in Israel and in Palestine, in all places where war is waging. Protect them. End the senseless violence. Bring paths to a more fruitful future and wisdom to those who need it. Help us to find a better way, for we confess we have not been able to find it on our own. God, for those in our community in need of healing, we pray you will spread yourself over them and bring healing to mind, body, and spirit. Be with Flo as she recovers from her injuries. Be with Rance in his mourning and Ruth in hers. Bring healing to our beloved security officer, Dan Wiederman, who has been in the hospital, and to Emily's grandfather, Jim, as he undertakes procedures this week. And we continue to offer our gratitude for the mysterious ways you move in each of us as Kyle continues his road to recovery. For all of this, we are so grateful. We know that you can hold many things, and so now we offer to you all that is on our hearts and mind in silent prayer. You are so powerful, and we are so grateful. We offer our thanks to you and your Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us in all our imperfection and who invited us to be his partners in ministry and co-creating a new world, who trusted us with this vision and this mission and allowed us to make our own path in it, and who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, church family. Happy Thanksgiving. Are you ready? All right, let's check in real quick. Everybody get your phones out. Scan the QR code that's going to pop up here in a second. And drop your name in there. If you have a prayer request, please add that as well. We pray over them over the week. Any of you remember when I said in October, Christmas is 70 days away? Does anybody else see a big Christmas tree in here, or is it just me? Is it? Okay. Glad somebody said it. Guess what's happening today after church? We are decorating the sanctuary for Advent or for Christmas. So, yay! We already pre-started with some of the heavier equipment, but if you can stay after church, you definitely can go grab a cookie and some coffee. But we're going to start back in here, and it takes about 40 minutes, 45 minutes to decorate. And after that, we will have a nice light lunch in the gym following for those who volunteered. So please stick around if you can. This week, obviously not much is happening since we have Thanksgiving, but while you're shopping on Black Friday or Cyber Monday, if you feel free to scan this next QR code coming up. We also have them on the welcome tables. If you can, buy a toy or two for our youth It's called The Christmas Shop. Our youth department puts it on. And what they do is on December 9th, they invite families in need to come and shop for free and get some Christmas gifts for their children. So if you can add to that, please do. Real quick, this is the last week to pick up a compassion bear. We have about 20 left that need to be decorated and loved. And I brought a little prop today because I finished mine. Anybody know who this is? Anyone? It's Blue Beetle. Yeah, DC. So I'm going to put Blue Beetle since they're in the same category with, next to Wonder Woman. All right, so you can, when you get your compassion bears all done, even starting next week, you can bring them in. We'll put them on the altar up here and down the stairs. And it's just fun to see all the ways that people get creative with them. Lastly, Big Sunday is coming. The 3rd of December is World AIDS Sunday. It's also the day that we are premiering our docu-short film, Red Ribbons of Love. We're very excited to share this with the world. It's been in some film festivals and won some awards. So that is happening during service at 11 a.m. It's a 15-minute film. But we have a lot of special guests coming. And our new bishop will be here, our district superintendent, and some other special guests. So please join us for that on December 3rd. Everything happening today is going to happen in the gym because of the wind. So cookies, coffee, everything's up there. So see me at the welcome table if you have any questions on what I talked about today. All that we do here is made possible through your presence, your prayers, your service, and your gifts. So as the ushers come forward and we put up a QR code for electronic giving, please give as you're able so we can continue to do ministry here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you for being here today.
Hearts open, minds awake, change us now for heaven's sake. Leave us not alone in hatred's wake. Show us how to love, show us how to love. Show us how, show us how to love.
Hearts open, souls awake, rules we made, we now must break with our very
reading from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Holy wisdom, holy words, thanks be to God.
This morning we conclude our stewardship sermon series entitled Earn, Save, Give. Earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can are the three basic points of John Wesley's famous sermon entitled The Use of Money. In 1789, Wesley noted that the Methodists of his day were ignoring that third part of the sermon that we're talking about today. In fact, Wesley argued that the primary reason for the ineffectiveness of the Methodist movement was due to their failure to give all they could. Wesley came to the conclusion that if Methodists would give all they can, then all would have enough. John Wesley wasn't against people having money, nor did he think money was evil. What mattered most was what people did with their money. In Wesley's words, money is an excellent gift of God, answering the noblest ends. In the hands of his children, it is food for the hungry, drink for the thirsty, raiment for the naked. Over the past few weeks, we have talked about the importance that Wesley placed on earning and saving all you can to enable ministry to happen through gifts. And today, our focus is on giving all you can. But first, as is our annual tradition on Thanksgiving Sunday, I asked all of you to share on Facebook, those of you who are on Facebook, what you're thankful for in this upcoming week of gratitude. And in no particular order, you answered, meaningful work and a tribe that walks through the valley and sits on the mountaintops with me. My children. Finding my biological father after 34 years and having he and his family welcome us with open arms. Y'all can applaud on this next one, that the SAG-AFTRA strike is over. You can applaud for any of them, but I'm just saying that's the big one. Someone else wrote that I'm so thoroughly loved for the time I had with my family member before she passed, for peace and love. All of my families, my actual family members who hold my heart, my chosen family of friends, and my beloved church family, I am truly blessed. In today's passage from 2 Corinthians, Paul is encouraging the very blessed and very wealthy church at Corinth to be grateful for what they have. Paul is collecting a love offering for the mother church in Jerusalem, which has fallen on hard times. The church that commissioned and sent missionaries such as Paul and Silas out to spread the gospel is now in need of help. The newly established churches seem to be faring much better financially than the original church, and Paul explains that by helping the Jerusalem church in its time of need, it becomes a way of giving thanks to God for all of God's generous gifts. But Paul is concerned that the members of the church not feel obligated or feel guilted into giving. Nothing in Paul's discussion about the act of giving is related to the condition of the recipients or why they need help. Because you see, to Paul, that should not matter. He says, each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, we're to give with the right attitude. Giving is a matter for our hearts. The decision to share with another grows out of our own understanding of faith. Giving is the response of our heart to our discovery of how we are so blessed by God, by the love and the goodness of our Creator. Wesley was clear on preaching, in his preaching on material goods in general, and on our personal accumulation of wealth in particular. We talked about that last week. It was Wesley's fervent belief that one of our fundamental spiritual disciplines as Christians is to give all we can. And not for the support of the institutional church, but please give for that too. But not for that. It doesn't matter if the church budget is flush or if it's projected to break even or as we are perpetually in deficit mode. Wesley's position was more fundamental. We as Christians need to give all we can because that is what pleases God. Our willingness to give all we can means that we are reliant upon God and not on ourselves. We are reliant on the working of the Holy Spirit and not on what we can amass or create. We're to give all we can because it gives God joy when we rely upon God and not on ourselves. We are to give because it gives God joy when we consider the needs of our siblings as important or maybe even more important than our own. We are to give because it gives God and us real joy when we see how our efforts help make the kingdom a reality. We give because we understand that really we own nothing in this life. We're just holding on to a portion of the gifts that God has given to us while we're on this earth. What matters is not how much we have or how much we give. What matters is the condition of our hearts and our souls and our openness to reflecting God in our daily lives. To that end, I want to share a story about the Reverend Art Simon, who is the founder of Bread for the World, the Christian Citizens Anti-Hunger Lobby, where I worked as an organizer for the first 2 years I was out of college. Art founded Bread for the World after serving as the pastor of the Trinity Lutheran Church on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, where he often found himself responding to emergency situations caused by hunger and by poverty in his neighborhood. So he gathered an ecumenical group together, Catholics and Presbyterians and Lutherans, and they began meeting as to how they could begin to address the global and the root causes of hunger. And Art Simon saw a place for Christians to try to prevent hunger from happening in the first place rather than just reacting to it, saying that it's easier to build a fence at the top of a cliff than to have an ambulance at the bottom. In 1974, Art and this group formed Bread for the World as a force for changing domestic and global public policy, and now it numbers over 300,000 individuals in this country are active advocates in anti-hunger work. I had the honor of knowing Art as a quiet man who would brown bag it for lunch every day. But when he got in a pulpit and he was preaching against hunger, he was a force to be reckoned with. And he gathered a team around him, and that team grew and grew. And from my time there in the 80s, many of us have stayed lifelong friends. When the word went out to former Bread staffers and friends last Wednesday that Art had died at age 93, one person on my email chain wrote, "Art truly left this world better than he found it." And I can't think of a more fitting eulogy. I can't think of a more fitting way to describe a disciple of Christ, that we come into this world and we leave it better than we found it. Because that's what it means to be that disciple. To constantly work to make this world reflect the values of the kingdom, of the beloved community. Because you see, the more we grow in our faith in Jesus Christ, the more we realize that our lives belong to him, the more uncommonly generous we then become in all areas of our life, with our resources, with our time, with our spirit. So on this Thanksgiving Sunday, I ask if you'll be willing to commit to pray, to be present with this congregation, to be a witness for God's gracious and radical love. I ask if you'll commit to give a portion of the financial resources that God has blessed you with, and will you pledge to give a portion of your time, of your calendar, to serve others in the coming year? Because ultimately, it's not about what you do, it's about who you are, about being a child of God, and how serving others, how taking care of our family, all of our families, should flow naturally as a product of that faith. You see, working for justice for members of God's family shouldn't take a lot of analysis. When we follow the Christ with a sense of gratitude for all God has done for us, serving others through acts of mercy and justice, earning all we can, saving all we can, giving all we can, all these should simply be second nature. I'm grateful for you all and for the ministries that your giving enables. In so many ways, the people of both of our campuses respond positively and affirmatively to Wesley's conclusion that if Methodists would give all they can, then all would have enough. We saw that at our annual charge conference last Thursday evening through a short video that was created and produced by our own Marlon Da Silva, which we'll see now. Truth crushed to earth will rise again only when we choose to be God's hands and feet in this broken and hurting world. This church has long proclaimed the truth of the resurrection, that love triumphs over death, by the two red ribbons of love on our tower. This year marks their 30th anniversary.
Not think that I was a mistake, but rather that I was given a gift at being who I am, and that God has a purpose for me to use that gift in some way to show love and care for other people.
And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy is love. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place.
I think it's extremely important what we do as an affirming faith community, because it's not just affirming to say, oh, well, it's just about the LGBTQ community.
Right.
Right. This is affirming on all
right.
fronts.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Come on, somebody, put your hands together.
Amen. Thanks again to Marlon for putting that together for us. In closing, as is our Thanksgiving tradition, I tell you the story of someone who overcame some of the most difficult things in his life and yet ended with rejoicing. Martin Rinkert was a minister in the little town of Eilenberg in Germany 350 years ago. In the year 1617, he became the archdeacon in his hometown parish. And a year later, what has come to be known as the 30 Years' War broke out, and his town was caught right in the middle of it. In 1637, 20 years later, the massive plague that swept across the continent hit the town of Eilenberg. People died at the rate of 50 a day, and the man called to bury most of them was Martin Rinkert. In all, over 6,000 people died, including Martin's own wife. His labors finally came to an end about 11 years later, just 1 year after the conclusion of the war. His ministry spanned 32 years, all but the first and last, overwhelmed by the great conflict that engulfed his town and the tough circumstances that he found himself in. It's hard to imagine how he could be thankful, but he did. And he wrote these words that we will now sing in a moment. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom this world rejoices. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
now with a spirit of gratitude for all that God has blessed you with. Go forth now to love and serve the world. Amen.